This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
One of the NFL season is in the books. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can always hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's talk about the NFL. Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst, kind enough to give us some of his time. And Booger, thanks as always. What did you learn in week one, if I make you choose one thing above all others?
Quarterback play is definitely not what you expect it to be. And I'm not just talking about the rookies, because we all expected the rookies to struggle, whether that was Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. But there were some veteran quarterbacks that are making a lot of money that struggle. You take a look at a guy like Kirk Cousins. He gets $100 million guaranteed, and I get it. He's coming off the Achilles, but he looked like a shell of himself. And so I think overall, if you just look at the numbers, whether you look at it from an analytical standpoint or you just watch the tape, quarterback play and passing yards were down. And, you know, what that can be attributed to, maybe it was the lack of a preseason. Nobody wants to play and get hurt. I get it. But I think overall, football is suffering because of that. And I think we saw that week one.
Bug, we have been hearing all week, why is passing down in week one? Only two quarterbacks threw for at least two touchdowns, you know, in week one. And, oh, by the way, one of them was Derek Carr. The other, Baker Mayfield. What you just said right there, man, the week one and week two, in my opinion, are preseason games that count. Agree or disagree?
Hey, well, see, it's tough for me to say that because you look at Kansas City and Baltimore, and they played a high-level football game. You look at Green Bay and Philadelphia, other than the field, that was a pretty high-level football game. So for some teams that aren't necessarily preparing maybe the way they should, yeah, I would agree with you. But there are a lot of teams that play some really good football. You look at the Detroit Lions on Sunday night. That wasn't preseason. That was a big boy drive coming down there in overtime. So there are teams that prepare, and I think coaches that get their teams ready to play at a higher level. Now, some teams don't do that. You look at Cincinnati. You know, traditionally, they are slow-starting teams. So I think Zach Taylor's got to figure out a way to get his team and his quarterback to start a little faster. So overall, I think the level of football is going to rise over the next couple of weeks as a whole. But I think there are some teams that came out playing at a high level.
How much of that not only goes into coaching of what you just described, as some teams were ready, some teams weren't, but also veteran leadership on teams?
Well, no doubt. And I would put it more on coaching than veteran leadership, because coaches set the script. So coaches decide what we're going to do. Are we going full pads? Are we going to go 9-on-7, which is an inside run drill? Are we going to tackle? Players don't decide if we're going to tackle and things like that or not. That's from a coaching standpoint. Now, players have to be able to turn the intensity up regardless of what type of drill we're doing. But in the end, if the coach demands it, usually the players will rise to the level that the coach is demanding.
Booger McFarland joining us here on Amber and Ian. What's the team that won in week one that you just do not believe in at all moving forward?
Wow, team that won in week one that I do not believe in. You could probably throw New Orleans out there. I think we didn't expect New Orleans. And listen, and I'm just talking about overall. Like, I don't think New Orleans is this world beater. I think Carolina's terrible. But they won. I'm trying to think, man.
Would Patriots be on that list?
Yeah, but I mean, again, the Patriots have a really good defense. Again, so like, everybody's going to say the Patriots, but their defense is going to keep them in a lot of ball games. And as long as they don't turn the football over, if they can run the football with Ramondre Stevenson, they're going to be in a lot of football games. Now, with that being said, nobody expected them to go into Cincinnati and win. But, you know, sometimes week one tells a lot. And I think maybe that was the case for the Saints. Maybe it's the case for the Patriots. We'll see.
Man, I'm going to have to send this to Mama Fitz. You're calling out her beloveds, being a boot boy from the North Shore. I thought we were family, and you're going Saints on me. I mean,
47 doesn't make any sense. Ian. It makes no sense. They're not that good.
Booger McFarland here with us on ESPN Radio. What's your level of concern with this Christian McCaffrey being iffy for week two with an Achilles issue?
Well, it's been the Achilles calf all summer, right? Like, if you go back to, like, early July. So it's been the better part of 2 months he's had this issue. And if it hasn't gotten better in 2 months, Ian, how much longer do we have to wait for it to get better? Like, are we just going to shut him down for a month and see if it gets better? Because he got shut down for a month in training camp. He didn't participate any in training camp, and it's still not better. I think at some point they're going to have to figure out a way either to shut him down for 6 or 8 weeks and just say, okay, we'll bring you back in November, or they're going to have to take the risk that, you know, he could go out there and play. I would probably go with the former. I would probably shut him down, especially if this kid that ran Mason, the way he ran on Monday night, if you can get that type of production or something very similar, I would definitely be very, very cautious with Christian McCaffrey. I know Kyle Shanahan wants him for the stretch run, December and January. At what point, though, do you say, okay, I'm going to punt on the regular season? I don't think we're anywhere near that now, but I do think this is going to be longer than a 1-2 week injury. I wouldn't expect to see him until October, to be honest with you.
That running game was still so productive without him, shockingly so, but still so productive. Booger McFarland joining us. I'm already tired, Booger, of talking about the quarterback room in Pittsburgh, but I feel like we're just getting started, frankly. What would you do if you're Mike Tomlin? It almost feels like he's getting a little bit of a break here because it feels like Russell Wilson isn't fully healthy and ain't ready right now. But if you were Tomlin, would you rock with Justin Fields either way moving forward?
Well, he doesn't really have a choice, and I'm going to go with Mike Tomlin here. I think Tomlin has already told you what he do, because when he thought Russell was healthy, he went with Russell. I think it's easier to play the vet and then go to the young guy than it is to play the young guy and then go to the vet. But right now, he doesn't have to make that choice because the vet is not healthy. So you play and you play this card. Hey, we're going to let Russell get completely healthy. Now, is that 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month? We don't know, but we do know that Mike Tomlin said, you know, he's got a no-nonsense attitude. I don't worry about the people that can't show up to work and can't be ready to get their job done because of injury. I'm going to worry about the bodies that are able. I think that's the way he puts it. And so right now, Justin Fields is able, and that's the one we have to go with. But I do think these two quarterbacks, and maybe I'm in the minority with this, I think that Justin Fields is what he is. He's a tremendous athlete that's a subpar quarterback. I think Russell Wilson is a subpar athlete at this point in his career who once was a tremendous quarterback. And I think you're banking on the fact that just maybe he still has some of that that moxie, some of that quarterback play left in him. And that's kind of probably what the Steelers are looking at. They don't need any turnovers. As you saw that defense with Minka and Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt, that defense is nasty. As long as you get an offense that doesn't turn the football over, they're going to be tough to beat, man.
Go back to your playing days as a Pro Bowl D-tackle for the Tampa Bay Bucks when you were winning Super Bowls for Tampa and the Indianapolis Colts. If you were going up against Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers right now with that Jets offensive line and as stoic and as statuesque as Cousins was for Atlanta, how would you be feeling about how many sacks you could get that daily or at least quarterback pressures?
Well, I think anytime you have a guy that can't move or movement is not especially, you want to make him move. And so that's where those defensive tackles are going to come in and play a tremendous role. They're going to try to get pressure up the middle. You make Aaron Rodgers move. You make Kirk Cousins move. And I think that's what the way teams are going to attack both of those guys until they prove that they are nimble and fleet of foot enough to move out of the way.
Can you explain to me why that Jets defense would have looked the way that it did in week one when it was a top three defense in the NFL last season?
Yeah, it's really simple. Kyle Shanahan has seen the Robert Saleh defense for years. He knows the weaknesses. He knows the points. He knows how to scheme against it. And he's at the very worst, he's a top three play caller in football. And so you give a top three play caller in football the answers to the test, that's kind of what you get.
Hey, you know what? Saleh had those answers also, but the professor, I guess, schooled the student.
Well, you could say that, but it's a lot easier to change your offense up than it is to change your defense. Like, defense is from a simplistic standpoint, defense is what it is. Offense, like, there's a thousand offensive formations. Like, defense, there's a shade, there's a three technique, there's a defensive end, there's two stack. Like, there's only so many spots you can put guys in. So, it's easier for Kyle to scheme the defense than it is for the defense to scheme Kyle.
Great point. Hey, Bug, by the way, Francine has made landfall. You're from, northern Louisiana. It's going to hit my hometown of Folsom, Louisiana, in any minute now. Man, thoughts and prayers to your family down in the boot and all my friends and family also, because Amber's been through it. I've been through it. You know, she lives in Florida. We're from Louisiana. It never ends, man. It just never ends. So thoughts and prayers.
Same, echo those same thoughts, man. It never ends. It's something that us that live in these states that are by water, we go through. But everybody's got to go through something, you know. Out west, they got earthquakes, and in the Midwest, they got tornadoes. You know, Mother Nature kind of has her own timeline that she likes to do things. We have to kind of live around it, and we say our prayers and let the good Lord watch over us, you know.
Yeah, Hurricane Francine, she hit the Louisiana shore as a Cat 2 hurricane. Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst. You can see him everywhere, all over our airwaves. Thanks, Booger. We appreciate you.
Anytime. Y'all have a good one.
Man, but Book, we appreciate you. And by the way, we're watching the Weather Channel right now.
Mm-hmm.
If Jim Cantore shows up in your hometown, get the hell out of Dodge.
Oh, yeah.
This dude is 60, and I swear he just took a tree trunk right to the hip, and he didn't even phase him. I mean, the man is a machine.
Legend.
At 60 years of age, he's out there in like 90-mile-an-hour winds. There's a new version of him. This guy, Mark, I think his last name is Goodlow. He was on the North Shore, where right around where the eye was supposed to hit, which is the North Shore of Lake Pontchartrain. I'm telling you, man, I think a fire hydrant hit him in the forehead, and he was like, oh, man, that was a tough one. It's getting
shake
nasty
it off,
around
shake
here.
Shake it off.
Yes. Those dudes, Jim Cantore, at 60 years of age, could start at Mike linebacker for me right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
I can't believe he's 60.
60.
Well, he's out. Wait, what's your excuse? You're younger. Get out there, Ian. Let's do some real reporting. You're sitting here hiding behind your mic.
A branch could run like float by my forehead, and I'd cry like a 3-year-old.
That's true. That is true. Well, we appreciate them for risking life and limb.
Amen.
To go ahead and bring us the weather. But coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we will not be risking life or limb to talk about 0-1 teams in the NFL coming off of week one, but it's important nonetheless. Let's do it right here on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneyline, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Rolling along here on Amber and Ian. You can always hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Ian Fitz ESPN is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more. All available to you at progressive.com. Earlier in the show here tonight, we went through the 1-0 teams coming off of week one in the NFL, and we played a little real or fake. If you missed anything here, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Let's sort of do the same thing, but let's do the same thing with a glass half empty type of approach. Let's talk about the teams that are 0-1, but can they dig themselves out of that hole and find their way into a postseason or to be actual contenders here? Let's get to it. Hello, James.
Negativity, I'm in. All right, let's start with
your
the
favorite.
Jets. Yeah,
I'm surprised you let us start with 1-0 teams. Honestly, the show.
Me too. That was an oversight.
You love losers and you love anguish.
Definitely an oversight. Okay, the Jets. famously lost on Monday Night Football to the 49ers, 32-19. I don't know if you've heard.
Is it famous? Was it like they famously
infamously
lost?
I don't know. Jets. Do you believe in the Jets, Ian?
Meaning, for people, if you missed the previous segment, if they're real, they make the playoffs. If they're fake, they're out of the playoffs. I'm going to say the Jets are real. They barely make the playoffs as a wild card team. Barely. Last squad in.
To me, the Jets are fake. And we saw this against a very, very good San Francisco 49ers team. That is very, very, in fact, real. But going back to the Jets' performance for a moment, it wasn't just that offense that looked rusty and Aaron Rodgers who looked rusty, which you can excuse away. It was the fact that the defense looks like it might not be a top five defense in the league this season. And if they don't have that, they don't have nothing. I don't know if Robert Saleh is a good coach. He seemed like he got absolutely out-coached by Kyle Shanahan. I understand that a lot of people get out-coached by Shanahan, but there was that whole aspect of this as well. This could be a team where everybody gets fired top to bottom before the season's up. And there's only so many of these teams in the AFC East that are going to make a postseason. I would give that nod to the Bills and the Dolphins anyway. So, no, I have the Jets being fake.
The Ravens, who lost to the reigning, defending, undisputed, back-to-back,
unnecessary
Super Bowl champion
just
Chiefs.
Just say Chiefs.
I can't.
Keep
it's impossible for me to just say that. They lost to the Chiefs 27-20 on opening night. Amber, are the Ravens a real 0-1 or a fake 0-1?
Well, they're a fake 0-1 because they're a real team. Is that how we're doing this now? They are a real team. They are an actual real good team. You've just confused me in that entire analysis. The reality is, watching that game on Thursday night, the first game of the NFL season that we got out of the gate, Ian, was also the best game in terms of the quality of product that we saw on the football field, which is pretty remarkable when you consider there was a rain delay and a sloppy field going into that game. And then, of course, that they're out of the gate. Everybody's sloppy in week one with most of these starters not playing in the preseason, particularly for Baltimore. And yet that looked like some high-level football. Why? Because, oh, by the way, the Ravens are pretty damn good. So are the Chiefs, mind you. So, yes, both of these teams are real.
Yeah, everything she just said about the Ravens will save time. I agree. I think they're real. They're a playoff team. And that defense is nasty. Running back room is deep. And they've got weapons on the outside now for Lamar. They're real.
No shame in losing to unarguably the best team in the NFL. No.
Entirely arguable. It's a new season.
Inarguably. The Bengals, they lost to the Patriots 16-10, which was the biggest upset of week one. Ian, are the Bengals real or fake?
This is going to pain me to say this because, you know, my man crush on Joey B. Mm-hmm. I think they're fake.
They still just a man crush out with the hair, by the way? Still?
Yeah, the whole Eminem thing. Yeah,
like
Slim
it?
Shady. No, I wasn't feeling it, you know, okay. But having covered him about 47 different times when he was at LSU over 2018 and 2019, anybody who was on those squads, yeah, it was a blast traveling with them damn near week to week. So this hurts me to say it, but I don't have a lot of faith in that offensive line. And him kept the whole grabbing his hand thing, his throwing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just a gut feeling. It's a big old gut. I'm going fake. They just miss out on the postseason.
Yeah, he's been grabbing his wrist. He says that's just trying to keep the wrist loose. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show here tonight on Amber and Ian. But I don't know what to make of this Bengals team. That Patriots defense is much better than we all give it credit for. I don't think the Patriots, we did the 1-0 teams. I don't think the Patriots are for real. What does that mean, though, for the Bengals that they dropped one there? I guess I'll still try to keep some hope for Cincinnati because they're notorious for starting the season slow. And so if Joe Burrow ends up being healthy, which is a big if, particularly in that man's NFL career, I still think that this could be more par for the course, a slow start, but still maybe ends up being real by the end of the season.
The Browns, they were dominated by the Cowboys 33-17 at home in week one. Ian, are the Browns really fake?
Barely getting in. But, yeah, they're real. Even with the issues at quarterback, they won with Joe Flacco off the couch. So Stefanski's a remarkable coach. That defense did not play poorly against the Dallas Cowboys. So they gave up two touchdowns. I'm going to say that they barely make it, so I'll say they're real.
I think Joe Flacco off the couch is better than Deshaun Watson, and frankly might be better than Jameis Winston as well.
I don't know about that.
And that the way that the defense got worked, and yes, they were playing a good Cowboys team, but it's sort of like when we're talking about New York with the Jets, and we're talking about, well, that defense needs to be the bread and butter. That defense in Cleveland is supposed to be the best defense in the entire NFL, and it does not look like it when it's facing Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. I'm going fake for the Cleveland Browns.
Let's double up on the AFC South. The Jaguars, who lost
also
to...
The Jaguars,
who lost to the Dolphins, who are fine. And the Colts, who lost to the Texans at home. The Jaguars and Colts, Amber, real or fake?
The Jaguars, are they real or fake?
Wires.
Like, they're somewhere in between there. I feel like they're somewhere in between real or fake. Like, they're okay. But... also,
not the game.
They're okay. They're in between. I'm hedging on the Jaguars being real or fake. The Colts, I kind of feel the same way about both of those teams, Ian. I kind of feel like both of those teams,
Jags,
are somewhere
fake,
in between
Colts,
real and fake.
Real. The Colts, from the guts out, are really good. If AR figures out a quarterback, they're going to be real. I have them winning that division. So, yeah, they're real. Jags, fake.
One more real quick. Packers, they lost to the Eagles in Brazil on that awful field. Also, Jordan Love is hurt. Amber, real or fake Packers?
They're real if Jordan Love ends up only missing a few weeks here, which he's not on the injured report. He could come back. He doesn't even necessarily need to miss four games then. It all hinges, obviously, on his availability and his health moving forward, but I'll say real.
You've hedged a few times. I'm going to hedge on this one based on Jordan Love. If he's healthy, they're real. If he isn't, with Malik Willis, you got no shot.
You can hedge. I'll allow it. James won't allow it. He'll complain.
It's not
some
the rules.
Some of these teams are impossible to not hedge on, man.
I'll go fake on Green Bay.
Wow, look at
on
that.
Jordan Love.
Ian played the game better than I played the game. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we will head back to the world of college football. That's all headed your way on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network. In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
Rolling along here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You fire up old Twitter that is now called X. You go to @IanFitzESPN. That is how you find him. You can go to @AmberWSports. That's how you find me. And you'll be entertained endlessly, particularly by Ian's account. He's very big. He's an influencer. He's very, very big. Very active. Very big on social media. Excellent follow there from Ian Fitzsimmons. Right now?
Hold on. Really quickly.
Yeah.
just watching
still,
the Weather
are you
Channel.
Still, you're still engaged right now in this look, Weather Channel.
You know how it is when you have family in the middle of this and you're not there. I mean, if I don't make light and have fun, then I'd be freaking out right now.
Well, that's true. That's the darker side of this. But I also think even if you didn't have family in Louisiana, because for those of you who don't know, Category 2 hurricane hit the coast of Louisiana tonight. But I think even if you didn't have family, you would still be tuned in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And giving me Jim Cantore play by play. You seem like a Cantore junkie.
James Steele and Ryan Matlack, our AP tonight, they are now watching the Weather Channel because of our follow up with Booger McFarland earlier, who's also from Louisiana. And Jim Cantore at 60 is in Morgan City, Louisiana, and the tree behind him is about ready to bend in half. And the man is standing in 90-mile-an-hour winds like he's a Mike linebacker ready to knock the ever-loving snot out of somebody. I mean, I'm telling you, he could take a tree trunk in the ribs right now and shake it off and not miss a beat and continue his report. At 60,
it.
60
from what
years
I've seen
of age.
From that man, I believe it. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that man almost blow over and blow away.
Yeah,
whole career off.
You're down there in Florida. I mean, he's showing up to your hometown.
Oh,
and when he does,
every time,
get the hell out of Dodge.
We all talk about it. We're all like, where is Cantore? You know, it's like when Hurricane Ian hit down here, we're like, all right, where is he? You know, because that was, we were right in, supposed to be in the eye of the storm. It ended up hitting just about 30, 40 miles south of me. So really, really close to me, the eye ended up hitting. And we were all talking about, where is Cantore? Like, how serious is this? We need to get the hell out. Cantore's too close to this thing. He always knows.
You.
When he comes to your town, if you live in a hurricane
Pack
zone,
it up.
You're out. You never want to see that man in your town. All right, but let's find out right now. What is a big deal and what's not a big deal? Let's get to it.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
Jim Cantore in your town is a big deal. During hurricane season. Hello, James Steele.
Hi, guys. The MTV Video Music Awards are tonight. Mm-hmm. Megan Thee Stallion is hosting. Katy Perry is set to receive this year's Video Vanguard Award and will perform a medley of her hits.
I know who those people are so far.
Other performer, just wait. I don't know.
I mean, we're good so far. I'm like, all right. I know who these people are. I'm feeling good. Let's go.
Other performers will include Anita.
Okay, now you've
featuring
lost.
Fat Joe, DJ Khaled, and
I know
Tiago.
Them. All right.
PZK, Eminem, LL Cool J.
All right.
Benson Boone, Camila Cabello.
What?
Chapel Roan.
That's not. You made that one up.
Glorilla. Halsey.
I know who
Halsey?
That is. Halsey.
I know. Don't know that one either. Lenny Kravitz.
I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah. Shawn Mendes and Sabrina Carpenter.
Okay.
Taylor Swift leads the nominees with a total of 12 nominations. Post Malone
has
11.
She was looking fire tonight, that T-Swift. She wasn't with Travis.
I looked up MTV VMAs, and those were all the headlines were about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she was looking
Post Malone
like
has 11. Eminem has 8. Amber, VMAs, big deal, not a big deal.
I mean, it's a big deal that I even knew half of the people that you just said. I've never felt younger and hipper than I do in this moment. Overall, though, this is not a big deal. I have not watched MTV Video Music Awards for, I don't know, at least a decade, Ian. But it used to be the jam. It used to be appointment watch television. I don't know how people feel. I don't know how young people,
played videos, right?
Young people feel about it. Yeah, well, no, not that long ago. Like, it wasn't, not just the 80s, but yes.
I didn't even know they were going on. So in my focus group of one, not a big deal. But if you have that star-studded list, clearly to hundreds of millions, it's a big deal.
I mean, presumably a star-studded list. I couldn't tell you who the other 50% of those people were. But I'm sure they're famous on YouTube.
Right, there you go. But yeah, I had no idea they were tonight. I had absolutely no clue. None.
Are your daughters watching it?
You want me to ask?
Yeah. I'm just wondering. I wonder what the appeal is these days. Like, are the young people still watching MTV? Is MTV what it was when we were young?
Anymore.
I know, but I think that's by design, James. I think that's because of ratings.
What are they giving awards out for?
Well, Well, that's a good point. I think that's they still give them out. There's still music videos.
Isn't it like the CMAs and everything else, or in the Oscars? The Oscar goes to and the MTV.
Yeah, I think they still probably do like Song of the Year and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it's just more like the Grammys, but a different version of it.
But they're called the Video Music Awards.
That part's a little confusing because nobody's seen the videos.
I'm very confused.
People still make music videos.
So in other words, we're
saying
not a big deal. People there, big deal, but overall, MTV Music Awards, not a big deal.
But I know people still spend a lot of money making music videos, and I also don't understand that, because you're right. Where are they playing them? I guess on YouTube? You get some of them on streaming platforms, like if you're listening to music on Apple Music or something. Sometimes you'll get fed the video.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Maybe they should rebrand them. I don't know. Baltimore Ravens linebacker Kyle Van Noy ripped the Kansas City Chiefs medical staff for a lack of urgency after he suffered an eye injury in Thursday's season opener, calling it unacceptable and unprofessional. Quote, "I was disappointed in the way the training staff of the Chiefs handled the situation," Van Noy said on his podcast Tuesday. "I was supposed to see an ophthalmologist, and they took an entire quarter to get down to talk to me in the locker room, which to me is unacceptable." The Chiefs had no comment on Van Noy's remarks. Van Noy suffered a fractured orbital bone in the third quarter while rushing Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Kyle Van Noy unhappy with the Chiefs medical staff.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm going to say it's a big deal is because of that latter part there, where the Chiefs were graded by their own players for their medical and training staff. They gave them an F in the the anonymous players poll. They had one of the worst medical and training staffs in the entire league, which is a remarkable that they're treated that way for a two-time defending Super Bowl champions. So I'm going to say big deal just because of that part. And as Van Noy said, I'd have given him an F too.
I think that when you're talking about a facial fracture and a fracture to an orbital bone, it feels like a big deal that maybe needs to be evaluated quite immediately. And when you're a visiting player, you are wholly reliant on the home team's medical staff in that situation. So you're relying on their doctors to take care of you. And it's not about who's working for the Chiefs or who's working for the Ravens or any other team in the National Football League. At that point, you're just a doctor providing a service, right? And evaluating somebody to make sure that they're okay, or do they need to go to the hospital, or do they need some sort of other immediate action taken in order to save their eye, potentially. Yeah. So that
one,
seems
one
like a
one trainer standing
big
there
deal.
with a styrofoam cup of coffee.
Yeah, that seems like, and it's like, and I'm assuming in that moment, Kyle Van Noy doesn't actually know what's wrong and is in probably a ton of pain. And it's like, hey, maybe you don't let me lose my eye. Like, maybe we speed things up a little bit over here. If that was even a fear of his at the time, I would say big deal. That's a very ugly look for a training staff.
Don Van Natta Jr. today put out an article on ESPN.com about Robert Kraft's 12-year quest to be put into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's a good article, ESPN.com. Lots of good stuff in there. The sexiest quote, though.
Can you imagine if you said there wasn't a lot of good stuff in ESPN.com?
The sexiest quote in there, though.
Like, that would be a take here on ESPN Radio. That would be a big deal.
Is what Robert Kraft said about Jerry Jones, which was, quote, who is in the Hall of Fame? And it was, quote, he hasn't been to the NFC title game in two decades, and he gets in? How does that work? Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Some owner-on-owner beef there about the Hall of Fame.
They used to be tight, right? And 1A, 1B, when it came to, having clout.
I think Kraft has always been the B to Jerry Jones' A, right? That's why he's angry.
Jerry's the one that makes all the other guys a hell of a lot of money. Kraft squad is the one that wins a hell of a lot of titles, or used to, and they probably will again, but at some point. But yeah, I mean, it had one of the best runs we've seen in modern sports, forget just football. So that quote and that shot at Jerry, hell yeah, it's a big deal.
I don't understand why Robert Kraft wouldn't be in there. What are the parameters for owners getting into
It's a great
Canton?
Question. I have no idea why he's not in.
I mean, if there's any owner that should be in there, I mean,
aside from Jerry.
Aside from Jerry, but when you're just basing it on pure success of a franchise, I don't understand. I don't know, because I don't know what the Hall of Fame parameters are for ownership specifically.
Impact on the game, little things like that.
I mean, I can't imagine who had more of that in the last
decade
and a half.
Yeah. Outside of Jerry.
Well, I mean, X's and O's, Robert Kraft had more of it than Jerry. When it comes to, you know, greatest quarterback ever, Robert Kraft's had that in the last decade and a half, right? One of the greatest coaches ever.
Those two will be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how much it has to do with ownership and influence, but I do believe he should be in. But Jerry makes the other owners a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. 12 years he's been trying to get in. That's really unusual, I would imagine, that he's not in there yet. Yeah,
I'm sorry. One thing that drives me nuts, like Bill Belichick, if you're a coach with his stature, you know, you should be on the ballot next year. I don't think you should have to wait 5 years as a coach into retirement.
Well, I don't know. We got to find out if Bill Belichick's actually retired.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't care if he retires. See, we know he's going in, right? So
yeah,
put him on the ballot.
Also, he could come back next year.
Well, Greg Popovich is in. Yeah, you know, basketball does it. He's
still
active.
That's true. But everybody gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's a very different hall than the NFL Hall of
Fame. It should be separate. It should be college and pro. I agree. But
I mean, Kraft can't even get into the hall, and he's got 6 rings as an owner. So apparently this NFL Hall of Fame, it's something to get into. All right, coming up next here on Amber and Ian. How worried should we be about Joe Burrow grabbing his wrist, about Christian McCaffrey and the lingering injury? We'll get into that next right here on ESPN Radio.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
If you're a San Francisco 49ers fan, you learned the news that Christian McCaffrey wasn't available to your team not long at all before the game. Now, there's some controversy about when the team actually learned that news, but certainly as fans, they learned it a couple hours before kickoff at best. I would imagine in those moments, Ian, that you were probably freaking out a little bit if you're a 49ers fan. Not entirely. Still obviously a very good team with or without CMC, but a little bit because that team is so built around the run and you don't have arguably the best running back in the entire NFL available to you. Well, then we learned that apparently that's not actually a problem for that team because Shanahan's scheme is so good that they can utilize Mason or whomever that they need to utilize and still go ahead and get a dub. If Christian McCaffrey is available but kind of shaky now, Ian, what would you do with that information if you were running the 49ers? Or even if you were a fan, what would you want your team to do based on what we just saw them do on Monday night?
Be patient as hell with one of the best running backs in the National Football League.
And by
the way, it's not just Kyle Shanahan. Go back to his dad, and I thought the Monday Night Football production crew did a phenomenal deep dive going back to Terrell Davis out of Georgia, who's in Canton, was a 6th-round pick. You know, Mike Anderson out of Utah, right? I mean, a UDFA, 1,000-yard rusher after 1,000-yard rusher, just found, you know, as with remarkable scouting or on the street. God, that guy looks good. He's got muscles in his toenails. Let's give him a football. Bam, 1,000-yard rusher in Mike Shanahan's offense. Kyle Shanahan, no Christian McCaffrey, no problem. Jordan Mason, 30-year guy out of Georgia Tech. Come on
undrafted
in here, son.
Undrafted out of Georgia Tech.
Yep. Buck 47. Hello. You know, first start of his NFL career.
Crazy.
He had like 400 yards in his senior year at Georgia Tech. He got over a quarter of that in one NFL game.
No, you know what was the craziest is that I heard on Greeny today, they had one of their trivia questions was about who has the most rushing yards against the New York Jets. That's who's still active, an active back in the league. And Jordan Mason was 19th on the list after one game.
One game.
After one game.
That's a great tidbit. So, yeah, I mean, it's – you be patient with Christian McCaffrey, because as Booger McFarland told us earlier when he joined us about 45, 50 minutes ago, this is something that is not just the last few weeks with this, calf, now Achilles injury. It's been lingering for a while. Here's Booger McFarland. And how about Booger McFarland?
It's been the Achilles calf all summer, right? Like, if you go back to, like, early July. So it's been the better part of 2 months he's had this issue. And if it hasn't gotten better in 2 months, Ian, how much longer do we have to wait for it to get better? Like, are we just going to shut him down for a month and see if it gets better? Because he got shut down for a month in training camp. He didn't participate any in training camp, and it's still not better. I think at some point they're going to have to figure out a way either to shut him down for 6 or 8 weeks and just say, okay, we'll bring you back in November. Or they're going to have to take the risk that, he could go out there and play. I would probably shut him down. I know Kyle Shanahan wants him for the stretch run, December and January. At what point, though, do you say, okay, I'm going to punt on the regular season? I don't think we're anywhere near that now, but I do think this is going to be longer than a 1-2 week injury. I wouldn't expect to see him until October, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's why I was bringing the fan perspective and saying they must have been nervous before that game when they got the CMC news. But after you saw them be able to do what they did with Jordan Mason, why would you want them to rush CMC out there, particularly early in the season? We know this is a long play for the San Francisco 49ers. This is a Super Bowl team. That's the aspiration that they have. And so everything that you do has to be built around accomplishing that particular goal once again. And if you rush Christian McCaffrey back at the beginning of the season, then you're jeopardizing, of course, his availability to you at the end of the season. And that's not something that you can mess around with a guy who has ended up being durable during his time in San Francisco. But we also know what it looked like before he got to San Francisco. All of these backs end up battling injuries at some point in their NFL careers. And it's just, he's too important schematically. Even if you can survive it right now with Jordan Mason, you don't want to try to survive a postseason without Christian McCaffrey available to you. So I'm with you. You end up being really patient if you're the San Francisco 49ers. They've got the Vikings on Sunday at 1 p.m. That's a winnable game with or without him.
Should be. I know Sam Brown will look good, but yeah, I mean, I'm 100% with you.
It's not a cupcake game, but it's
no,
a
none of them
game.
Are. In this day and age, I think the average margin of victory in the NFL is 6.2 points per game over the last like 6-7 years. It's something around that range. So, yeah, without McCaffrey, is it going to be easy? No, but Jordan Mason showed, at least in one game, in one flash, he can get it done.
Yeah. So they've got the Vikings this Sunday. They've got the Rams, the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks.
Wherever the bye week is.
A couple weeks in October. When is their bye week? Their bye week, they don't have a bye for a little bit. You check on that for me. I think it's the first week of November, I think, is their bye week, if I'm looking at that correctly. But you can look at it. So, yes, as you mentioned, let's also get to Joey B. Because Joe Burrow, a lot of people have noticed, is on video, and he's grabbing his wrist. And so this has started to raise some alarms. Now, of course, people, I think, are extra skittish about the durability and the health of Joe Burrow for good reason. Certainly, he is a player who has been marked by injury throughout his NFL career. The Bengals quarterback, he has been questioned about it and frankly was confused why he was even being asked about it. Here is Joe Burrow sounding confused.
Not winning on the water bottle discussion about how you put the water bottle in the game.
What did I do?
Apparently, it's just the way you picked it up, and they said there might have been something wrong with the wrist.
I picked it up weird?
Yes. I don't know.
I drank water. I can't say I've seen that or know what anybody's talking about.
Yeah, so the question was, it looked like you picked up the water bottle in an awkward way and was drinking it kind of funny. He's like, I was drinking water.
Right. Well, and he did grab his wrist a little bit and then like shake it with picking up the water bottle. But fans are jumping to this conclusion that there's something not right. Now, it's not just that. It's also the performance from Joe Burrow, right? And from the Cincinnati Bengals generally there in week one. Nobody expected them to go out and lay a dud against the New England Patriots. And I think everybody obviously very excited about Joey B being back and those the possibilities there. And so he looks rusty. The team looks rusty. And then additionally, you have this whole wrist injury.
Yeah, and he's coming off a ligament injury to his throwing hand, his throwing wrist. And even in camp, he was kind of shaking it and whatnot. And he explained why he keeps shaking the wrist on his throwing hand. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I'm doing that all the time. When you come back from injury, you're always trying to keep the joint loose. that's part of ligament injuries. If you don't move it, you're going to lose it. So I'm always moving around, keeping it loose, keeping my mobility the way that it's supposed to be. So, you know, it's going to continue to happen. I do it at home. I do it here. I do it all the time.
Okay, yeah, and that could be something that's become a habit now for him. Like Drew Brees in between snaps would always do this shoulder shrug with his throwing shoulder, you know, the one that was hurt when he was in San Diego. He constantly did it in between plays. So that could be something that is now becoming second nature with Joe Burrow, or it could be a true level of concern if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to go with it's becoming a habit.
He did tear a ligament back in week 11 against Baltimore. He had surgery back in November. I think that I can buy the excuse that he's just trying to keep it loose. But according to ESPN, only six of Burrow's 29 pass attempts were for 10 or more air yards in week 1.